Computer science is usually boring, or it's just for nerds. At least, that's what many people think.
Yeah, that's what my partner thinks.
So we have decided to start a podcast and try to prove those two things wrong. If anything, we want to get people to think twice about computer science.
So who are we?
This is Include CS. I'm Janelle Salunga, a science and tech studies major minoring in Asian American studies at the University of California, Davis. So that's me, but who are you?
I'm Joel Porke, a professor of teaching computer science here at UC Davis. I teach many of the core courses that CS majors take during their undergrad.
I originally planned to major in computer science, so I'm pretty familiar with Joel's courses.
I'm a big fan of podcasts, such as
This American Life, Radiolab,
TED Radio Hour,
and so on. It's been a few years I've been thinking that we could have a great podcast about computer science too. Last quarter, I finally decided it was time, but I needed a partner in crime. I remembered that Jana was very interested in media and communication, so I reached out to her.
I was super excited. Storytelling has been something I've wanted to do since I was little. I write for the UC Davis magazine, but I'm also a proponent for representation among storytellers. More diverse writers mean more intersectional stories. But accessing resources to tell a story, whether that looks like research in your community or starting your own project, isn't always easy, especially when it comes to working in computer science. The goal of this podcast is to make CS accessible and fun for everyone. Today, we are making this first episode in very basic conditions.
Pretty much a podcast startup, like Silicon Valley in the 70s, meaning in my office, using Janelle's computer and a cheap microphone.
And are hoping that it will take off and become part of a longer series.
So what is this first episode about?
Imposter syndrome! As we mentioned, in this first episode, we'll be talking about imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is defined as people doubting their accomplishments and having a persistent, often internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud, which is common among students, especially in computer science, because it's been a field that's been segregated for a lot of years. If you aren't a nerd who's been programming since age 3, or someone who's been spoon-fed video games, then you might feel like you don't belong. Professor Joel Porke is my co-host and interviewee for today's podcast. Have you ever felt imposter syndrome?
Yeah, of course I have. I don't think it ever goes away. It's definitely something that can drive you, but also crush you, and that needs to be properly tamed. In high school, I was just an average student. I have a hard time being interested in my studies. After high school, I was denied by most institutions I applied for, and I only got into community college. And then I got lucky. I really picked up on computer science, and for the very first time, I felt I had found something that was fun to work on and didn't feel like a chore. I would finish my homework in advance, do all of the extra credit, and it felt easy and fun.
What was the assignment that was the aha moment?
I kind of reinvented in an extremely poor way this algorithm called Dijkstra to find the shortest path between two nodes in a graph before I learned it existed.
Surfing of that wave of reinventing Dijkstra's algorithm, Joel transferred to university, where he was top of his class through his undergraduate years and his master's degree. He succeeded in various internships, but somehow, he said, it always felt like maybe he was succeeding because he wasn't in the most challenging environment. Driven by imposter syndrome, he kept pushing. Then he found his limits.
Long story short, after finishing my PhD, I found a postdoc position at Columbia University.
Did you know that Barack Obama went to Columbia University and then was a lecturer at the University of Chicago for a few years before becoming a state senator?
What are you trying to say? That because I'm a lecturer here, I'm gonna be the French Obama? Actually, I didn't even know what Columbia University was or where it was located until after I got the position. And when I learned that it was an Ivy League, and in Manhattan, in New York City, I couldn't believe it.
I'm confused. How did you find the position if you didn't even know what Columbia was?
Well, I was looking for a postdoc in an English-speaking country. So what I did is that I went on a ton of websites of a lot of universities around the world. And then I wrote a script to send personalized emails to professors. And ended up contacting about 60 of them in the span of a few weeks. Only this one position worked out. So actually, don't lose hope if you have a hard time finding an internship or a job after your degree. It's totally normal, and you just need to keep pushing until you find your way in. At Columbia, I joined a professor working to improve the security of computing systems with a holistic approach.
Essentially, that means adding security mechanisms at every layer of the system, from the hardware itself, ensuring, for example, that the processor does what it's supposed to do, up to the software.
Until recently, the industry assumed that hardware was always safe and that only software could be secured. But it's seemingly less and less true. For example, recently it was found that some computers made in China for some American companies had been modified directly at the factory, and that a hardware component as small as a grain of rice had been added to the design.
Oh, wow. What was that kind of component supposed to do?
Well, we think that this component was meant to offer a built-in backdoor into the computer.
That's pretty serious stuff.
Well, it's probably not only China who does it. Other superpowers are likely to do it as well.
So, what were you working on at Columbia?
Personally, I was working on a very specific topic called DIFT.
DIFT stands for Dynamic Information Flow Tracking. The idea is to tag every piece of data that a program uses and make sure that it's not being used in a way that it shouldn't be.
For example, if an application retrieves your GPS coordinates, we can guarantee that these coordinates are not being sent over the network without your consent. The coordinates would be tagged in a certain way at hardware level, and we'd prevent the Wi-Fi component or any component that can send data to the outside world to ever access tagged data.
Right from the beginning, Joel found the job really hard because this particular field had been explored for the previous 10 years, and there wasn't much left to discover.
Every day, I would go to work, try to think of new ways that this data tagging could be further improved, only to realize that, one, my ideas often couldn't work, or that two, that it had already been discovered before.
And this loop continued for several months.
New idea, no idea, sir.
New idea, nope, not a new idea.
New idea, no, still not a good idea.
New idea. For the first time, Joel wasn't one of the smartest people in the room. He was feeling behind.
One day I talked to one of my friends at Columbia, who was a PhD student at the time. Really a bright guy. And I explained to him what I was working on, and it felt like in 2 minutes he was already finding new ideas that I couldn't have thought of, which was really depressing.
Luckily, Joel still ended up having a few ideas that were good enough to publish a paper, but it had been a real struggle.
Eventually, I had to just accept that Columbia wasn't a good fit for me, and that if I chose to become a researcher, I would probably not be a very good one.
That must be difficult to realize, because it really impacts your self-judgment.
Yeah, all the way through, you're led to believe that being a famous research professor is what defines you as being smart and like finding your place in society. And then you realize that it's just not you, and part of you thinks that it's because you're not smart enough, instead of just accepting that it's not the right fit for you and that's all, that you might actually excel at something else. I'm lucky that I'm confident enough that I quickly realized I would find this something else and that I'm good at. So I left Columbia with this goal to pursue.
And where did that take you?
Well, fast forward a few years, it took me here at UC Davis, teaching computer science to the next bright generation of students. And I love it.
And like Joel said, fit is important. I started as a computer science major and struggled because I didn't do computer science in high school. Since I hadn't asked for help with my classes back then, depending on tutoring and office hours to supplement what I learned made me feel dumb. Plus, people in my classes finished assignments that took me 1 week in 2 days. There weren't a lot of women, let alone Filipinos, in my classes. Those gender and ethnic disparities, that's a big discussion for another time. But that lack of role models plus feeling like a failure meant that I never felt like I was in the right place. Eventually, I found my fit was in a major that allowed me to talk about technology and society, not really doing the tech myself. But Joel, what about you? Do you still feel like an imposter in your current teaching job?
As I was saying before, it never goes away. But I definitely feel like I'm doing some things right. What I realized over the years is that there are two kinds of qualities that are not recognized in the same way. In computer science, technical aspects are often way better recognized, such as being a heavy programmer, for example.
Or having a background in CS. There's been lots of research that shows women and minority folks don't have the same amount of exposure to computer science before college, which means that they start computer science degree programs knowing less and comparing themselves to people,
often white males,
who have been coding more. But sometimes, you're not bad, you're just learning.
And also, there are a lot of other aspects that are often undervalued in those technical fields like computer science. For example, communication skills are really important. If you're a genius coder but can't talk about it, then chances are your work will not have the same impact.
Exactly. At one of the hackathons I went to, me and my team couldn't understand the winner's presentation at all, which was super disappointing because we were really excited to hear about their project.
And there are tons of other non-technical skills that are often undervalued as well, but in fact can make you really excel at what you do, like being organized, being a good team player with your colleagues, and so on. So there's a lot more than just the technical expertise.
Part of combating imposter syndrome is realizing that everyone has a different path, different skills, and a different timeline to achieve their goals. Success looks different for everyone, and it's not always linear.
I think that everybody has something to bring to the table and should focus on finding what it is and making it their signature.
Like being sassy on class forums?
Exactly!
That's the end of our first episode.
Thanks for joining us.
If you have any suggestions or questions for us that we can cover in a future episode, feel free to reach out to us and let us know.
We're Include CS.
Logging off.